Well, I was not expecting to get cut off, but here we are anyways. But I just wanted to tell you thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if we can just start to remind ourselves that no one knows what they're doing. So why not empower the tiny people in your life? Controlling them is the easiest way to not create the relationship that you're going to want with them. The relationship that you might wish you would have had. The empowerment you wish someone would have given you. So if someone has not told you lately, you're friggin' awesome, but you are important. You are loved. You are valued. You have exponential potential. Literally nothing can stop you. And I'm grateful that you're here. So cheers to us almost hitting 100,000 streams. What in the world? And thank you for tagging me every time you listen. It makes my day. I cannot tell you the joy it brings me to see people sharing in our community when they have an unlock moment. So go empower someone today. Don't let your ego and your pride focus on the power in the situation. It's not about the power plays. It's about the empowerment moments. All right? Have a fabulous day. Welcome back, y'all. It's another week at After Hours with Amanda. Is this 2 weeks in a row that I'm uploading a podcast without some type of blip in the middle? Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, sir, it is. Okay. Trying to get back on track with this because I'll tell you what happens. Here's the, short and long of it, usually long of it if you watch my Instagram stories. But I will get in the closet, obviously, studio, my closet studio, start to record, and then your girl will get completely distracted because I'm like, oh, I should film a TikTok of this, or oh, I should let Instagram know I'm recording. And then it's just a whole spiral of trolling social media. And then before I know it, gotta go pick up the kids. So we are not gonna do that. Okay, we're getting down to business. For those of you that are new here, let me just insert the professionalism that anyone would deserve, but knows they probably won't get here. Welcome to the After Hours with Amanda podcast, the podcast that's about parenting, but not just about parenting, that hopefully also includes some type of beverage today. What do we have with me? I'm obsessed with the new Rowdy Mermaid kombucha. I told y'all I discovered it a few weeks back at Whole Foods, and I've been living it. Let's pop it. Oh, yes. I love watching the sound go up when I do that. So we've got the peach flavor, because like I said, anything that tells me I'm going to get immunity, I'm basically like that consumer. Also finishing off what is left of this coffee that I have re-added ice to 3 times. I re-add ice to my iced coffee. I know you're all thinking like at this point it's water and ice, Amanda, just like diluted coffee. But you know what? I refuse to waste it. So it's here. It's happening. I cannot believe it. And I'm just going to tell you it because I'm so stinking excited. We're We are about to hit 100,000 streams of this podcast. Y'all, I have no words for the fact that has happened. I am so incredibly humbled that you want to listen and hang out and chat. And I am so even more thrilled that you get something from this. Because I love sharing. And so it is an honor to come into your phone, your computer, your car, wherever you're listening. I am like beyond honored to spend time with you. And I'm grateful that there are people out there who are like me, you know, just a few years back after London was like 2, that are like, I want to do this, whether it's like parenting or life, you just want to, you know, work on yourself. I'm working on myself every day. Good Lord. Honestly, the work never stops. Right? That's, if it does, you're dead. So here's the thing I want to talk about today. And I'm going to start it with an analogy that I used on TikTok because I feel like it really resonates. Also, can I just say thank you again for tagging me when you listen? I get so giddy when I see y'all listening. Like it literally, like, I don't care about the numbers that pop up. Like, oh, this many, like, did this episode. I'm excited about 100,000 streams. Like, that's just cool. But when you guys tag me in your stories that the episode like hit something for you or had a light bulb for you, or there was something that just like stood out, like I get so excited because for me, it is all about the light bulbs. I like to think of life as like, it should be lived like Thomas and Edison did, right? It took him 1,000 times to get to the light bulb, right? Among other inventions that aren't included in that number. But practice, it's life is about practice, not perfection. Okay, let's just start out with that. Life is about practice, not perfection. And the same goes for relationships. And that is why I want to talk about this analogy that I used, because I get questions all the time. People want to know how I get my kids to do what I want them to do, right? It is about how do you get your kids to listen? And I get that, right? You want to have tiny humans that are respectful, that are kind, empathetic, that don't, you know, quote unquote, do things they're not supposed to. But I always find that question funny. How do you get your kids to listen? Or how do you get your kids to do this or that? Because I really think that it ties back to the idea of why do you want them to do that? Because what I think is so crazy that is like kind of a mind boggle thing to me is the fact that so many of us want our kids to do certain things, but what is like your reasoning behind it? And usually it is because it's what you were told to do and what is expected, right? Now, I'm not talking about being kind to people. I'm not talking about saying please and thank you because that's decent, right? I'm talking about when your kid does something like, oh my gosh, do you know what Paige will do? She'll do this thing where she's like, right? I mean, she went through a period and I tell you, or gum smacking, okay? So now gum smacking, I can tie to manners. I can be like, you guys, there are people out there and there's actually a growing number of people who don't want to hear you chew. It's just, you know, it affects other people around you. So if you would like to smack, go in your room, do it on your own time. I'm not going to control that. But when you're chewing in the presence of others, let's keep it to like a minimum, right? Let's instead of like focusing on the fact that it's like good manners, focus on like, it's like good social awareness. Okay. So the question I get a lot is how do I discipline my kids? I say discipline because punishment to me is not really as effective. The two are totally different. And I can always give you a Webster's dictionary if you guys want it. I'm going to say like, oh, do you guys want it? Do you guys want a definition of discipline? And I just imagine you being like, yeah, what's a definition of discipline, Amanda? And I looked it up. I would say the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior. Now, in discipline, the definition actually says using punishment to correct disobedience, right? But the verb is to train someone. And I like to focus on that because I think that in any of the relationships that we have, there's always, and don't take this the wrong way. Don't take this. There's always some level of training for us, for others. You know, I think of marriage. Okay. When Blake and I got married, the man, neat freak, doesn't even begin to describe it, y'all. He's still to this day. And you know what? This is part of us, me being like, and don't mistake the word trained, me learning to empathize with why he does this and him learning to empathize with why I do things. So Blake puts a towel in our toothbrush drawer. Okay. And he puts that in the drawer. I'm talking a literal towel. He folds it up. Not the, like, he won't put the inserts in it because the water drips, right? And he won't put the grippers in it because that gets sticky, right? So he puts a towel in it because it's replaceable. And he does that so when you open the drawer, the stuff doesn't move around. Right? It seems logical. But when I got married to him, I was like, this is ridiculous. Why are you putting a towel in the drawer? No. Mm. Now, almost 11 years into marriage, I'm like, Blake, you need to replace the towel, honey. It's like, it's getting all like dirty. But because that's his thing, unless I'm like doing, you know, an act of love, I'm like, you got to replace the towel because that's like not my thing, but I like will respect your thing. Okay. So that's what I like to think of discipline as. And here's the thing. I want you to imagine for a second that you're in a foreign country, right? You decide to study abroad. Yes, queen or king, you're going. You're taking a plane, jet plane, and you're off, okay? You land in this country, right? This country is not your country where you're from, right? It's new. You've never been here before. You imagine you haven't even done research, right? It's just like, boom, pick a place, go. And when you get off, everyone is speaking a language you don't know. And everyone is acting in a certain way that you don't know, okay? You're like, why are they acting? Like, I don't know the customs here. But being in that country, you need to learn those, right? So you go up and you say something right? You're like 2 weeks in and you go up to someone and you say something and they look at you and they scream and slap you across the face. Now I know that's aggressive. Okay, slap you across the face. All right. Or say you're at dinner and you go to reach for a piece of bread at the table and you don't realize that in that country, and I'm literally making this up, so don't, this is not an actual thing. You realize that you aren't supposed to grab for the bread until they bring the butter. Let's make it something simple. And when you go to grab for the roll, someone smacks your hand and they go, "What is wrong with you?" And you're sitting there like, "I don't know. What is wrong with me? I don't know. Did I do something?" But because you don't speak the language and because you don't know the customs, you have no idea. What do you need in that moment? You need someone to help teach and train you. And you need someone to like guide you through that, to offer you tools to say, "Oh, you know what? If you have trouble with the language, here's a great app. Oh, you know what? If you need some help with customs, come over to my house. We'll have dinner and I'll walk you through it." You need a teammate. You need a confidant that you can talk to, that you can feel safe with without feeling judged. You need a safe space, right? But yet somehow we expect children of the ages of 2 and even 3 to just understand it. And I think what's weird here is it's this thought, as I stutter repeatedly, it's this thought that we believe somehow our children are on the same level of knowledge as we are. And we don't do that consciously. If I said to someone, "Wow, you're treating your 3-year-old like they know everything like you as a 35-year-old would know," they're like, "No, I don't. I absolutely do not." But our reactions and our behavior towards their actions and decisions completely expose if that's true or not. There are times, and I, again, because I'm in the process of learning constantly and I choose to sit in a space of that and be comfortable with that, which is definitely difficult on the ego some days as a person, because I want to think like I'm so mature and with it. And then I'm like literally punched in the gut with how continual the learning is, right? Parenting is about practice. And that's with any relationship. Any relationship is about practicing each time to be better than the interaction was before, to build more trust than was previously done, to improve the communication with which you have. My husband and I, when we first got married, my sister-in-law said this quote to me, and I'll never forget it in her speech, and it is 100% true, and I'm grateful for it. She said in our wedding speech, she read off this cute list of things for Blake, and one of them was like, Amanda's right, and this and that, and just very cute. And then she got to the last one, and she said, "May today and your love be the day that you remember you loved each other least." And what she meant by that was may it only increase with time. And I can tell you, the appreciation that I have for Blake now versus what I had when we were first married is exponentially 10,000 times that. Reason being, we've gone through hard things. We've gone through easy things. But we have, in every situation, whether it's gone really well or really poorly, try to take lessons from it. And that doesn't mean we haven't had arguments. That doesn't mean we haven't yelled and fought and had moments of frustration. But what it means is that we valued each other so much that we wanted to work through that and improve that. And how we've developed as people is insane, which is how it leads me to the fact that when you are in a relationship, especially with parenting, it's about training. And training, I think if you can see it from an empathetic and empathy standpoint, is easy. I see Blake's need to organize the drawer with the towel as a need for him to keep things orderly in a life that is really uncontrollable with 3 small people, right? You can't control everything. Kids leave things here. So he needs a space that feels like a controlled environment. Now, he has several different things. Now, if the drawer gets messed up, does he get irritated? No. It gets messed up a lot. There are 3 kids grabbing toothbrush, okay? But we also try to be respectful of that with empathy and try and put them back. Which leads me to my point of the analogy of being in a foreign country for 2 years. The fact that that's what it's like being a child. And as I said last week in last week's podcast, you have never been a parent. You've only been parented. So it's new for you too, baby. It's a whole new world. Yeah, let's get Ariel in here. We're not going to judge my singing on that. But if anyone wants to let Disney know I sang in an episode, you know, call me. But here's the thing. We're all learning. We're all training ourselves to be better than we were. And that is not about perfection. That is about a practice, and a practice that hopefully with each, and I don't like the term mistake, with each new opportunity, with each new lesson learned, brings an awareness to ourselves, brings a self-awareness, brings a other person awareness, where we learn to be kind to our kids and see that they are learning. See, because you want to know something that's funny. This is what's so interesting. I want you to think about this. When our kids make mistakes, we expect them to apologize. We expect them not to do it again. We expect them to make it right. But when you make a mistake that no one sees as an adult, right? You're an adult. I'm an adult. I do what I want, right? Who do you have to apologize for if you forget to get something in the fridge that now you can't make dinner with, right? You can just be like, oh, I'm going to do something else. No one sees that mistake. Just goes right by. You know, say you forget to, such as me, move the laundry from the washer to the dryer. Does that have a natural consequence? Yeah, the laundry room smells. But if your child walked up to you and was like, Mom, I can't believe for the 10th time, oh my gosh, my kids could do this to me. For the 10th time, you left the washer in the wash and you didn't even move it to the dryer. What is wrong with you? This is like the 10th time. Why do you keep making this mistake? That would suck. But yet we literally turn around and do that same thing to little people who are growing and learning and whose cognitive abilities are different at every age. I mean, and honestly, think about yourself. What tools were you given as a kid to prepare you for parenting? Now, there is no instruction book for parenting, and no one actually knows what they're doing, myself included. I'm just sharing for you guys some things that I have learned and things that really help me in this stage of life. People can criticize that. People can dislike that. That's totally fine. I don't have teens. I don't have preteens. I'm out of the infant stage. Like, there's a whole mess of criticism I could get, you know? But what do we have to base things off of? And I've said it before, it's our default settings from being parented. And if you sit down and you think to yourself, did I like how I was parented? Did I enjoy being parented that way? Did that work for me? What type of issues do I currently have? And I'm not saying that, you know, the things you do with your children will cause them issues. It's going to have issues anyways because it's people. They're going to grow up not liking things you did because they're different people. They're going to like things you did do because they're people and it's similar, right? But when you think of that and the fact that you don't suddenly have a tiny person and then become this authority, you have no authority. It would be like me walking into a business and literally saying, well, because I wrote this report on stuff in the workplace, I now know how to run this entire thing. I will take the CEO's job and you guys just, you know, hold on tight. But if you can admit that you have no idea what you're doing and you're really just winging it and you're focusing on the learnings, then you can be honest with your kids. And when you take your ego out of that and you make your parenting about empowerment, not power, you will change the game. And this applies to all relationships, because in relationships, it's so interesting how it tends to become a power play. Let's just dissect this for a second. Who texts first? Who calls first? Who makes someone wait? In an argument, who apologizes first, right? Those are all power things. And do you know one of the hardest things that I heard once that I try to do, but is I epically fail at least 50% of the time, maybe 60. When you get in a disagreement with your spouse or your partner, whoever it is, a relationship, a friend, whatever, I was given the advice, try to be the first to apologize, genuinely, but try to be the first to apologize. Run to that because you value the relationship so much, you want to learn from that. You want to empower the other person by saying, I understand, and you want to learn from it, right? But no, oh my gosh, no. And do you want to know why? Because pride, oh my Lord, hello, pride riding in on a high horse. She's here. She's with me some days, y'all. Pride rides in and you sit there and you're like, forget that. H-E double hockey sticks, no, uh-uh. No, you, this is about you. You did this. I'm going to sit here and wait for you. And it becomes power. Pride is power. Your need to be in the position of power is based off of the pride that we have. Admitting you're wrong is hard because it creates this, I was wrong and I have a flaw. And depending on your personality, that can feel crippling. For me, Blake could say something very off the cuff to me. And because I have a lot of insecurities with trying to be all things and do all things, and that's my own issue I'm working on as I currently side note shop for a new therapist. It's hard for me because he could say something so simple and I take it as so detrimental because of my mindset. And what he says could be totally simple, not even a big deal. Like, oh, Amanda, did you remember the girls, da, da, da? Well, of course I remembered it. And if I had forgotten it, it would have been a big deal because I have so many things going on. So many things. So many plates spinning, so many balls in the air. You don't even know. Do you want to know what my day is like? And it becomes this insane, insane, insane. And he's just looking at me like, I was just asking because I wanted to remind you. But because of how I feel, my pride jumps in and she says, no, uh-uh. We've got it. We don't need. And that again is a me issue. But the thing is that when it comes to your children being new visitors in what feels like a foreign country, it has to be about empowerment for them. It has to be about not getting them to listen or getting them to do what you want, but understanding so they can grow as people. I tagged him because I love him, but Chaz did this video this week. If you don't follow him on Instagram, his is like Chaz Teach TikTok or Chaz Talk TikTok. I can't think of it right now, but he explained, and I loved his explanation of this because it just put it so simply, how when you change your thinking from I want them to stop doing this to how can I get them to understand this, and he used the example, which a lot of parents do when it comes to the reason they want to raise their voice or they feel they need to, you know, swat, spank, whatever you want to call it, a child. It's a parking lot, right? So he said, instead of telling your child, don't do that, teach them parking lot safety, right? Instead of telling my girls, you need to go to bed early because I said so, teach them the benefits of sleep. Now, the other flip side to this that no one likes, which is how we run into the I told you so and I'm the parent role, is when we tell our kids they need to do something that's good for them, it exposes the fact that usually we're not doing it. Like when I tell my girls, like, you need to go to bed early, but I'm staying up till 11:30 scrolling. Now, is that my prerogative? Yeah. Can I write that off as I'm the adult? Sure. Oh, yeah, that's easy. But is it harder to admit that, honestly, I should probably go to bed a little bit earlier? And even though I explain to my girls, well, you know, I want to tell you why. I love being with you all day, but because mom is constantly going throughout the day, imagine if when you got home from school, you went to another class and all you did was go to class. And then when bedtime came, you just had to go to bed. No break, no brain break, no little. And I remember London being like, that sounds like no. So I will tell them at the end of the day when they say, why do you get to go downstairs and we have to go to bed? I will say, well, here's the thing. Because I'm doing these things because I love to, but I also want to help you. I need to take a little break for me where I can just sit and not think. Mom needs a brain break. And I haven't had a brain break today yet. And then that helps them to see like, oh, and I say, you know, it's decompressing. So I let them know I'm going to go downstairs and this. Sometimes I have things to finish. Now, some people might say, you don't need to explain yourself to a child. I'm not explaining it. I don't see it as a power issue. I see it as an empowerment issue. I am empowering them with knowledge to let them know what I'm doing. I'm sharing what I'm doing because it's not a big secret. And some nights I will look at her and I'll say, you know, honestly, because I want to go downstairs and eat a bowl of ice cream with myself and I'm not feeling very sharing and I don't want to be rude and not share. So I'm going to do it when it's not going to bug you. And London looked at me and she goes, ah. And I go, but you already had ice cream. And she's like, that's true. And I said, did you have to share your bite? And she's like, no, I would have. And I was like, that's not the question. I know you would share with me. Did I ask you to share with me? And she'll say, well, no. And I'll say, well, see, I just want to have a moment where I can just sit. Because it's not about this thing of this ego-driven situation that we run into because we are so focused on control. I don't want to control my kids because I understand that when you put so much emphasis on control, the harder you control, the tighter your grip gets on that need, the more suffocated, deflated, it will fill. The more the tiny person or the relationship you're in will want to run away from it. They won't want that. No one wants to be controlled. Tiny people in general, because when they learn that from crawling to walking, they learn they can run, which is why a lot of little kids run away from you. They realize that now they're not like a victim to their circumstance of sitting there. They can take off bolting. But we get so mad at them. How dare you run away from me? They're exercising the fact they've established their freedom. So instead of getting mad that they're running away from you, we can try and refocus that to show them where they should run to. What do they want to run from? Why is it because of what's happening in that moment? And I encourage you, kids under the age of 2, a lot of people, I think they don't give them credit for the fact that they can understand stuff. I have always talked very plainly to my tiny people, even in situations where I didn't think they understood a word I said. At 18 months, I would talk to the girls and give them an actual explanation. I started it probably, like I said, when London was about almost 2 years old, was when I really, this became a big focus for me. And a lot of that had to do with Daniel Tiger, because I was so bitter at Mama Tiger. I was like, "This, she doesn't even know. She has no clue what's going on in my life. She is just, this is absolutely a false interpretation, a false representation of how things can be." But then I started to question, like, well, why is, and I know this sounds insane, y'all. I know you're like, Daniel Tiger, Amanda, but I'm telling you, I started to think to myself, this show is based off of Mr. Rogers. I grew up with Mr. Rogers. I'm obsessed with him. He is my greatest hero. My dream in life, my bucket list is to be on an episode of Daniel Tiger. I swear to God, I will just die. I will die. I want to be on an episode of a kid's show. So sue me. Or if I could be any inkling of Mr. Rogers. And that's kind of what I picture this podcast like, because it's longer form content. I picture this like my learnings that I come to share with you weekly that I think of daily. Little message into the world, because do you want to know something Mr. Rogers did? He treated kids like they should understand what's going on. He treated kids like they deserved an explanation. He empowered kids. He empowered them. He empowered them with knowledge. How are crayons made? What is divorce? And all these topics that are so, oh, well, kids won't understand. But do you know what they do understand? They understand your body language, your tone, your pitch, the environment they're in. They feel your nonverbal cues when you don't explain something to them. And then you walk away and do something else or have a conversation. They feel that. Now, are all things meant for kids? No, I don't tell my kids about the bills monthly and what we make and how some, you know, like, oh, well, this and this and this and we can't, you know, no. But when my daughters ask me, hey, mom, what, like London asked me this morning if I was all right. It's a story, so I'll just tell it. We're driving to school and she goes, mom, what's this in my backpack? And she pulls out this packet that was from Paige's class. Now, I swear on my ever-loving life, I have no idea how it got into London's backpack. I don't think Paige put it there. I have no idea. It is like, I'm going to put it down as like one of the great mysteries of our world, okay? Because I have no idea how it got there. Excuse me. I hope you didn't hear that. But anyways, it has, it's the kombucha. It's not my fault. It had this assignment on it. Now, I've been brushing the girls' teeth. We went to the dentist. So it's a dental assignment. It happened to be dental week while we went to the dentist. I didn't plan that, but praise God, because you have to check off brushing your teeth. And of course, you know, you go to the dentist and you're real good about it, right? So I just sat there irritated. And I was irritated because I felt like I had checked off everything for this week. I'm trying to plan a cute thing for the In-N-Out anniversary next Monday night. Of our year of pandemic in and out on Mondays. I'm getting stuff for London's leprechaun trap. She has Spirit Day on Friday. Their theme is Mario Kart. I'm trying to gather stuff for the costume. Paige also has Spirit Day. So I'm trying to get all the black and gold theme stuff for her. We also have Playdate this week with a little friend in her pod group. So I'm trying to do that. I have tomorrow the styled bridal shoot. I have content I have to upload for a brand. I have content I want to put out normally. So I felt like I had gotten to the point where I was like, yes, I'm on top of it this week. And then this just like felt like the Jenga piece being pulled out. And I just sat in the front seat and London goes, are you okay? And instead of being like, yeah, honey, I'm fine. And her sitting there in the back knowing I'm lying because my body language is all twisted now and my face is just like discouraged. I said, honestly, no, I'm not. I am fine. It's not a big deal. It's not your fault. It's not my fault. I don't know how that packet got in there, but I'm discouraged, London, because I thought I had gotten done what I needed to. And as much as I love doing all the things I'm doing, it's frustrating when I miss something. And now I feel like I'm behind. And I know I'm not a failure, but it makes me feel like one in this moment. So I'm just trying to process it. Now, some people might be like, you shouldn't be saying all that to your kids. But you know what? I think that I owe her that. Because I think otherwise she sits in this back with this confusion at what's going on and this inability to tell me how it makes her feel. Because after I said that, she goes, oh, I was worried you were upset or sad at me or something, but you're just bummed, huh? Like if I forgot my homework or something, or I found another page of homework. And I'm like, exactly, 100%. And so I offer her that understanding that I hope empowers her. Because holding the power in that situation and saying, well, how did this get in your backpack? It's in your backpack, London. It doesn't do anything for her. Not telling her how I'm feeling doesn't empower her to have her feelings too. See, because our kids are growing up in a world constantly with each new development, each new thing, it feels foreign. I feel foreign every new year. I'm 35 years old. And every time we hit a new stage of parenting, I'm like, okay, this is new. Let's just, you know, it feels like when you go to the fair and you walk in that fun house and it's like the mirrors and you're like trying to get your way through it to the slide, but you like, you think it's a mirror, but it's not a way. And you smack the mirror and then you really, it just feels like you're bumping around. Okay. And I don't want them to feel like that in situations I can help them. Does that make sense? Because when we focus so much on our egos as people, it doesn't do the tiny people in our life any favors. It makes it really self-focused. It takes the journey for them as developing as people and makes it all about you. Because the big truth is, as our kids are growing up, so are we. It just looks different. We're older. We look like we have it together, but we don't. We're a bunch of kids on the inside walking around with trauma. What trauma? Lord, walking around with trauma, unresolved, resolved, being worked on. I mean, it's an interesting little journey. And the fact that we try and hide that, does anyone else look in the mirror? I do this all the time with Blake, and I've said it before. I look at him, I'm like, oh my gosh, we have three tiny people who live here. We're keeping them alive, Blake. They are dependent on us. We have to help them. It's like, when you start to see parenting as an adventure and you make yourself these superheroes learning, it's just the coolest, man. It is so freaking cool because parenting is not about the books you will read. It's not about the tools you will find. Parenting, the way that I'm speaking about, is shifting your mindset on how you view people and how you view being a parent, because it has a stigma. Okay, it has this belief that it is draining and exhausting and you have no life and you're never going to pee alone again and good luck having snacks by yourself and ugh, you'll never get out. And it's just this like experience, but no one wants to do that. Now, is parenting exhausting? Yes, on a variety of levels. Does it require self-sacrifice? Yes. But do we tend to parent selfishly without knowing it? Yes. We give our kids so much, right? We say we give them so much. I'm doing this for them. I'm doing this for them. I'm doing this for them, right? Tangible things we can see. I'm packing their lunch. I'm buying their food. I'm clothing them, feeding them, dressing them, right? And yes, that all matters 100,000%. That is unselfish. You're using your time. We are doing that, okay? Own that. Yes. But are we unselfishly parenting in the way that it requires us to do hard things with our egos, that it requires to do hard things with apologizing, that it requires us to see them as people who deserve respect and a level of grace and acceptance that we wish we would have been given? Parent your kids the way you wish you would have been parented. I can tell you, there are so many things I loved that my parents did. The way I parent my kids is totally different. I talked about this last week on the episode where I talked about spanking, and I got so many DMs where people said, I have a good relationship with my mom or dad. I have a master's degree. I'm going to work every day. I am a functional member of society, and I have these boxes checked off. I turned out fine. And here's what I have to say to that. How is your emotional state and mindset? How is your ability to create relationships for other people? Because I can tell you this very plainly, and excuse my French, I don't give a shit if my kids get a master's degree, if their self-value and their ability to create relationships and their emotional awareness is slowly killing them. I don't care about that stuff. I don't want my kids to say, I turned out fine. I want my kids to know that the most important thing that's happening in their life is their self-development and their ability to create relationships and their ability to self-evaluate themselves in situations, to take responsibility, to have empathy, and to be themselves fully. And that is not defined on if they get a master's degree or not. That is not defined on if they don't feel as traumatized or they don't feel like it was that bad. I don't care about those things. And do you want to know what a lot of that has to do with? My mom and my brother dying, and I say this very plainly, and like I said, I am currently examining going back into therapy for some unresolved trauma that has come up recently. Them dying in the way that they did, and me feeling so left, and me feeling like, oh my gosh, what is it all for? What is the purpose? You know, too often our view of success is so slanted. The success we see as parents is watching your kids have their own victories with intrinsic things. Yes, external is amazing. Sure, do I want my kids to leave a good life and, you know, have a home that they love or a place that they love? Yes. If that's what they want, if that's what they define as something that brings them joy, I don't care if my kids have a 401k, if that's not what they want out of life. I don't care if my kids take tickets at the movies and get minimum wage, if they enjoy going to the movies and they're living a good life that brings them joy. Too often, the basis and the rating system for what we do with our kids is based off of, do they follow rules? Are they well-behaved? Do they do what they're needed told? What do their grades look like? And this ridiculous system that tells you they need to do all these things, but for what? Why? Why do they need to do those things? Why does my child need to do this? Now, do they need to go to school? Sure, yeah, absolutely, to learn. It's required by the state. I'd get in trouble. So that's why they go to school. Okay, like I get it. But if they're doing their best and I see them developing as people, I'm not going to push them to get into honors classes. Is that going to affect them getting to college? Yeah, probably. Oh my gosh, yeah, right? But is that going to affect who they are as a person? No, because their value is not defined by that. The things I want to do is I want to empower them. So if being scholastically like exceptional is in their cards and their love, heck yeah. If I know they're trying their best, as Blake said when London asked him about winning, if you fail and you tried your best, you are winning every time, baby. But if you fail because you didn't try your best, you really lost. Because you didn't do what you are so gifted and talented to do. So when we look at our kids and we look at raising them, or we look at relationships, shifting the mindset out of ego and out of pride, which is how a lot of us were raised, right? It's knee-jerk. It's default. But if you can see it as them being in this foreign country where they don't know what they're doing, they have no idea what's going on, you can see that they're just someone who needs help, right? If someone asks you for directions, are you going to yell at them? How can you not know where you're going? Oh, well, I'm from out of town. Oh, okay, well, congratulations. I'm not helping you. You should know that. Like, you have a map. You have a map right there. Like, it should tell you. I'm sure you can figure it out. Woo! Oh, my gosh. Wow. No. Come on. If someone asks you for directions, you're obviously going to be like, where are you trying to go? Okay, well, here's this. And if you're like me, you're going to be like, turn at the Chevron, then turn left at the Taco Bell. You're going to drive till you get to that red building. Don't ask me to use a compass or tell you if it's like, when people give me directions and they're like, it's northeast. I'm like, no, back up. I don't know that is, what is it by? Where do I turn? Is it right? Is it left? And then I, you know, put my hand over my heart for the Pledge of Allegiance to remember which hand is my right hand and which hand is my left, because I still have trouble with that. But parenting should be about empowerment. Relationships should be about empowerment. Empowering your person to be their best selves. Empowering them to get the help that they need. Empowering them to voice their concerns, even if it's uncomfortable. And I don't do that perfectly. Oh my gosh. Oh, when Blake comes to talk to me about something, I'm like, I immediately get like sweaty pits. I'm like, what are we talking about? What did I do? Did I do? And he's like, no, I just wanted to. And I'm like, I don't even know. I don't know what I did, but I didn't do it on purpose and whatever I didn't do on purpose. And has he ever been like that in our relationship? No. That's literally me and my unresolved issues. He'll look at me like, I was just going to ask you if you're going to eat the leftovers in the fridge. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, yeah, no, I'm not. You can have them. And in that moment, Blake will look at me and be like, Amanda, what's happening here? What can I help you with here? Because I feel like, and he will try to empower me to take that moment and say like, okay, well, is there something I could have done better next time? Like, you freaked out for no reason. And again, this is an example. He did eat the leftovers in the fridge and didn't ask, but it was not. I just know that when I put stuff in the fridge now and don't say, don't eat this, it's just going to get eaten. But then it's a benefit to me because then I can say there's nothing in the fridge and I have to go get food. Mm-hmm. So this is the thing. When we stop trying to control, I want them to do this. How can I help them learn about this, right? So your child is splashing water all over the tub. Is that annoying? It doesn't bother me. I've gotten past it. I pick my battles. That's another great piece of advice that I was given that I will just throw out to the world. Pick your battles, especially with little people. Like Corey came up to me today and it was 10:30 and she's like, I want to eat my lunch. I usually make her wait till 12 because that's quote unquote lunchtime. But who defined lunchtime anyways? Yeah, girl, eat your lunch. Then you can go down for a nap earlier. Then I can take you to pick up the girls later. Cool. Now I could sit there and be like, no, you're not eating it till lunch. No, we're not eating. No, we're not eating. And then I'm exhausted and angry for what? For an hour and a half difference? If we're not going on the road where I can be like, oh, Corey, we have to run some errands first. I can't give you lunch right now, but I can give you a small snack. Or, hey, girl, I just got you that entire bowl of like 8 oranges, which girlfriend eats oranges like they're going out of style. We just ate all those oranges. Let's go run our errands. And right when we get back, mommy will get your lunch. Now she might start hemming and hawing and I can be like, I'm so sorry, but I have to run those errands first. And if that's the case, that's the case. But I'm going to empower her in that moment with knowledge. I'm not just going to tell her, you're not eating lunch right now. Lunch is at 12. Get in the car. That doesn't do anything for next time. Parenting is like laying groundwork. And when we shut down them asking questions, them doing things, them feeling empowered, and we make it about power, power doesn't breed a lot of communication. And power doesn't really breed trust because it views everything as reflective because power is tied to our pride and pride is tied to our insecurities and how people view us and other people's opinions. So it's a vicious little cycle. So if you can start to shift the idea of parenting to say, I am going to think of parenting as an adventure where I have never been a parent. I have only been parented and there is no manual. I'm totally unqualified for this. I'm unqualified to parent, frankly. There is no qualifications for being a parent. I mean, you can look at the range of parents and there's literally no qualifications. Now, there's a kind of social view of things of how you should parent, right? Or a social view of how you should be or a social view of how a mama should act or whatever. But there's no rule book. Right? There's no textbook. Just like for being a child, they come in with no textbook, with no rule book, with no knowledge prior. They're literally a blank slate. And you have the opportunity to help them create beautiful, beautiful things on that blank slate, empowering things on that blank slate. Or instead of empowering them, you can take the power route. And draw all over their slate with all of your issues. And the thing is that that's going to happen anyways. That's the spillover of being humans. When you see your children as people, you realize you're not going to be able to shield them from all of your issues because you have your issues and no one is perfect. So you can only help them to feel safe, to talk about theirs, to go through theirs, to voice theirs, to heal theirs. But why wouldn't you want to do that? Wouldn't you want someone to do that for you? So that is the end of this episode. I hope that you enjoyed it.